안아주고 싶었어. 그 순간부터 지금까지 너만.
Resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
The Association des Services de Réhabilitation Sociale du Québec is filing a class action suit. If you were strip searched between July 13th, 2006 and July 1st, 2011, if you were in one of the following facilities, Bordeaux, Rivière-des-Prairies, Roberval, Saint-Jérôme, or the male sector of Quebec City, you may be able to be part of this claim. For complete details, go to asrsq.ca/class action. That's asrsq.ca/class action. Claims must be filed before January 16th, 2022.
So, other than that, I mean, you know, what's going on? What do you say?
Buenas tardes.
And we'll be back.
Missed your favorite show? Not a problem. Go to www.ckut.ca and follow the link to CKUT's easy-to-use archives. Instructions are on the page. 2 months' worth of archives are stored in mono, and a half a month's worth in stereo.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal.
If you're having trouble, please email sys@ckut.ca. That's sys@ckut.ca.
Oh, yeah!
I want to be your motivator.
Brother, strong brother, and there is
no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever true. He's misunderstood. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. But for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it. You got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother. You're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother. Talented brother. And to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. But my black brother, I love you. I'll never try to
No.
Y'all, so welcome to Heal, Black Girl Heal, and my special guest today is Monsieur Danny.
Hello.
Yes, I would like you to introduce yourself, starting with I am.
I am a man who is definitely not afraid to show his emotions, which is probably why we are having a conversation. I have sort of found my voice, or the power of my voice, when you re-click late in life, but I always knew, but in 2019, I guess, is when it re-clicked. I heard it about, I was seeing signs a bit before, but then it really clicked. Then I am also a father of three young ladies. So we got I got a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 8-year-old. All thinking that they're in their 20s,
right?
But I love them to death. I try to lead by example. They are not easy to deal with. And I'm learning from them as well. A lot of things I'm learning. Yeah. And it's...
Okay, so let me ask you right away. What are some of your favorite lessons that your daughters have taught you?
I'm still in the midst of it, but I already know I don't have all the answers, and I tell them that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they come with the answers that I don't know. So I'm like, oh, yo. Luckily, I'm humble enough to know that I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And they break it down for me at times. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I don't put my ego in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me. I usually tell them I know more than you. Because because I have experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know everything, so mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to be shown a couple of times at the beginning. You're like, come on, child.
Yeah.
What are you talking to, right? But that's, once your ego is put aside and you're like, oh, this is interesting, or you know, like right. you're interested in some learning what they're telling you, talking to you about. So yeah. So yeah, I've learned that I have to be open. You have to be open minded.
So basically you gotta put your ego down from time to time.
From time to time, yeah. Because if you come in with an attitude that, you know, oh, I'm mightier than you, or, you know, just the fact that if we go look back into our previous generations, our parents, or in my case, you know, my father was always like, oh, I know.
Like, yeah, of course.
You do, but you don't, because you're not going with the times, and you're not, you know,
exactly.
implicating yourself in these times where, you know, you're just stubborn on your ways. On top mm-hmm. of that, I try to work on myself a lot. There's also, well, so I am co-parenting because I am divorced.
Okay.
So that's also a lot of learning experience. Mm-hmm. Even though the co-parenting here's the thing, I'll never badmouth my ex,
mm-hmm.
my ex-wife. And we have, it's a bit harder to stick together against the kids because, you know, divide and conquer, right?
Right.
But on that note, we are solid. Like, we're not going to get fooled. Because if one lets up, then we're both screwed, you know?
I hear you.
So it's not easy, but we don't agree on everything.
Mm-hmm.
On our style, we have different, we're two different people. So
right.
our parenting skills or our parenting style are different. They differ, but at the end of the day, it's really towards what's best for our kids.
Exactly.
So yeah. Not too bad for that.
Beyond this world. If it wasn't for my love and my patience, I swear I wouldn't make it. Slide up on a pig and make his face lift. This what happens when you keep it caged in. For my love and my patience, I swear I wouldn't make it. Slide up on a pig and make his face lift. This what happens when you keep it caged in.
Money, yeah. I got plenty love for all places.
Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about these unsolved cases.
Oh, yeah.
Our community is drowning in the hatred.
Oh, no.
Don't know who to trust and who we gonna be safe
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should come together on the game.
Right.
Piss up in the air, screaming black on everything.
On everything.
We can break the cycle, fight for life without the change.
Oh,
but we gonna have to change if we wanna see a change.
No more pulling my tool on you.
Cause that's just what they want us to. Separate us, break up our
break
group.
Up our
make
group.
Us hate us what we come
no,
to.
No, no.
We gon' need that love if we gon' fight, yeah. We need all of us, so let's get right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm willing to bust for our right, yeah.
Okay.
For all of us, I'm willing to die,
if it
yeah.
wasn't for my love and my patience, I swear I wouldn't make it. Slide up on a pig and make his face lift. This what happens when you keep it caged in. For my love and my patience, I swear I wouldn't make it. Slide up on a pig and make his face lift. This what happens when you keep it caged in.
Try to keep my wits about me. F*** what you heard, you don't know about me. Get that from around me. Only fam around me. And we focused on our frequency. She gon' live with me, she gon' creep with me. Dippin' through the city, shawty, lookin' make-believe. When I see you round the town, now you flaunting. Now I'm on your body, now we got a problem. Pull up in the phone line, smoking marijuana. Now she drippin' wet, I ain't even got a starter. I can push a button, we can start it. Now my dog said it's money calling. She walking with caution, cause he got the flame, cause y'all changing.
You never always what I'm saying. Thank God for my patience, yeah. If it wasn't for my love and my patience, I swear life wouldn't make it. Slide up on a pig and make his face lift. This what happens when you keep in cage in. For my love and my patience, I swear life wouldn't make it. Slide up on a pig and make his face lift. This what happens when you keep in cage in.
Tell him I love him, it's good, the side of the globe. Is everything like it should, man, I don't know. But for everyone, that think they should go. If you say that it's over, if you say that it's over, I won't die.
So hard, but it still haunts you. All in your face, all of the time. Running from everything, run out of faith. Now you are blind. It's such a shame, it's a terrible waste. Beautiful mind. That was a moment in time when I thought of you. Now I am fine. No matter what you say,
if you say that it's so.
You don't have to say you love.
You don't have to say love.
You should tell the truth. Everything you do in time.
You know it takes time.
Just goes back to you. Yeah. Just goes back to you. Yeah.
Of living in the hood. So I wanted to ask you, with your ex as well, or not so much her, but I'm, you know, like I'm at the point now where I realize I'm not gonna be dating somebody who is childless necessarily. You know, like the men are most likely they have baby mothers. I know we don't really want to call them that, but I'm not putting a negative quote
connotation.
Yeah, on that. But you know, it's just it's inevitable that I may or most likely going to meet somebody that have children. And also I have my own son, like hello. What I want to know is how can I as a woman support a man who is dealing with a troubled ex? You know, because you don't want to interfere, but at a certain extent, like I know that I need to support
the man that you're with.
Yes, I just need to support men in general because I know I've heard stories. I have friends who, you know, are not being supported, that are showing me that the system does not support fathers. In any way, you know? So I'm just wondering, you know, what can us women do when we're getting in a relationship with somebody who's had, like, or who has a messy background? Not saying that you do, but what can we do to support
which,
you?
Which, I'll be honest with you, I am lucky for it. Mm-hmm. We are on very good terms when it comes to that. But I have heard enough stories, and I know some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess the first thing is to definitely listen and not necessarily, because here's the thing. You and I, for example, let's say you and I, we are in a relationship
mm-hmm.
and it's going well, and we have this rapport or this connection and whatever it is, we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have relationship with somebody else, and although they have the same qualities, it just doesn't work. So I have a tendency to realize, or I think it's more of the fact that every person you are with is going to create a different relationship.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So definitely listen to the men so they can sense and feel that they are heard. At the same time, I myself have to put the woman in that's, you know, the ex,
mm-hmm.
some quote-unquote, in, you know, troubled or, you know, problematic.
Yeah.
What is really her strife? What is really causing this aggravation? What is it really at the core that it's not, you know, there's something that's not resolved? Or mm-hmm. is it really, you know? And that's the thing. Sometimes it could be something that's stemming from so long that both of them have not healed from it or have right. dealt with
yeah.
that it keeps on. So the only thing I would say is, if you listen, you want to be with me, you're having issues with your ex, you need to try to mend bridges and, you know, do something in order to be at least civil or on the same page, or mm-hmm. you know, try to work at it. It's not the optimal situation because already you're not together, so mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to try to work on something when you're not even with the person, right?
Right, yeah.
So, but yeah, definitely listening to men and to have a sense of support without mm-hmm. necessarily bashing the ex. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's I would never say nothing bad of my ex,
mm-hmm.
or at least not to anybody, you know. I mean,
you don't need a cheerleader.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't need to have somebody have a view of the mother of my children. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I will always have that respect and that love for her.
Right.
Even though that I'm not in a loving relationship with her, doesn't take away what we had and what we've created. So just on that basis, there's respect that is required,
mm-hmm.
or in my case at least, in my view. But again, it could get messy. I mean, you hear the stories. Yeah. And like you said, men are not supported because I find our generation, so I'm a bit older than you are, but the men pass, you know, so there's Gen X and all these Gen Zs and whatever.
Sure. I can't keep up.
Me neither. There's too many labels, too many chapters, whatever. Baby boomers are about dying. No, I don't know. but the men that are in their 30s or 40s or, you know, from 20 to, I'll just give it a round number between 25, give or take, is not unreasonable to think that a 25-year-old man has a kid, right? So men that have 25, that are 25 above, are taking responsibility. They want to actually be in the kids' life, you know, in the life of their kids. They don't want to just be like providing the name, or, you know, just dropping kids left, right, and center. Some of those, that trend, from where I'm seeing, has reduced a lot, and men are being much more conscious,
responsible,
of what they're doing.
Yeah,
and responsible. And I mean, it's good. You shouldn't be getting, you know, compliments for that. I mean, that's just what you're supposed to do already, you know. But it is harder because the system hasn't turned with the tide yet, you know.
Okay. Yeah,
they haven't caught on that men are you trying to be responsible.
Right.
You've heard the stories. I mean, I know some that the mother is just not allowing their children to be seen by the father just because they got issues between them. But who's it gonna hurt at the end of the day?
Absolutely. It does affect the child in all ways possible. And I'm gonna step in because I'm in a situation like that. And when abuse is involved, then it's quite different in certain ways. And all I have to say is that I'm working through it. I'm doing my best. I had to get you know, a friend involved just so both of our interests are, you know, are met. But at the same time, you know, he's not really down with that. Not everybody is down with somebody interfering, and then you have to start questioning, like, is this really for the benefit of the child anymore? So yeah, as much as I would like things to be easy, it's most definitely not.
Yeah, it's definitely something to. I've heard stories, and I'm not aware of all your details of your story, but just you mentioning that at one point there was abuse, it's even trickier and it's much more sensitive. So yeah.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my son. And the situations that he may encounter. And my question is, how can we as mothers and as parents, like, do you have any suggestions how do we have these conversations with our children? How do we have these conversations with the men? Honestly, okay. Today's show, I dedicate to the black man. And I'll say, listen, every man that surrounds him as well, all ethnicities. But there's things that are going on in our community and things that are not being addressed. And us supporting one another is most definitely one that is lacking.
Yes.
So, I do understand that you and Fimo Mitchell, shout out to Fimo, have something going on for men in the community. Can you talk about that group?
Yes, so I moderate conversations called The Brothers Got Your Back. Mm-hmm. Do it by Zoom. It varies on different topics. I try to come up with topics. Being that I'm the moderator, it's kind of like my baby. I took it under my wing.
Mm-hmm.
A female had approached me, and another one of the crew likes to stay in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they said, you know what, let's try to do. And it all stemmed from, which is ironic because his anniversary of his death just passed recently. Patrice from Lidl is the Patrice.
Yeah.
The one. So mm-hmm. when that started.
Sorry,
that
for those current, that don't know who he mm-hmm. is, can you just give a quick short?
So Patrice was part of the Haitian community, but he was an entrepreneur doing macarons with people's pictures on them, so okay. he was very popular in a lot of events, mm-hmm. and they were like very tasty. He would put some of them with little alcohol bottles in there, like super tiny. Like if you know macarons, they're like, you know, bigger than a toonie,
right?
And so they are little pastries. But he had a knack of putting like I think it was almond paste on them,
okay.
and putting pictures.
Yeah.
An event. So for whatever event that was happening in it, he was going, like, you know, it wasn't just in the Balak community anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He did that for Gala Dynasty, right? Yeah. Gala Dynasty. He ended up, I think, if I'm not mistaken, some Quebec artists also.
Okay.
I mean, he was getting, and then of course when the pandemic occurred, well, there's no parties, there's no events, there's nothing. So mm-hmm. that was his bread and butter, and it got him hard, and sadly he took his life.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part is he has a daughter, mm-hmm. who's, I think, at the time 13 or 14, and I don't know him personally. I never had met him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have crossed paths with him, but I know some people that were friends with him. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's always hard when you see one of your loved ones and you go through all the stages, right?
Right.
So we, from that incident, from that event, Brothers Got Your Back was created, because
mm-hmm.
we needed a show that there was a platform where people needed to speak, and mm-hmm. specifically Black men, because mm-hmm. it's not something that in our culture is prone.
Right.
Being there, and as I stated, one of the first things that I have used to do is speak about my feelings, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of being vulnerable, and
right.
that's a big stigma and a taboo in the Black community for men.
It is.
So I'm kind of trying to teach without having, you know, any certification in vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a school for that, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to simplify and demystify that you being weak at a certain point does not make you a weak man.
Mm.
You know, you just come face to, you know, some hard times, and it happens to even the strongest of men. They just, you know.
Mm.
So I'm trying to normalize that. And so Brothers Got Your Back is there. Every month we try to create good topics. We vary on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke on toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was very interesting. It was about Black Power in 2021. What does that represent? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And our conversation starts around 7. We try to keep it under 2 hours, and it's sometimes hard because we just go off. Like, we just go off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
turn your lights down low and pull your window curtain. Oh, let your moon come shining in into our life again. Yeah, yeah. Ooh,
It's been a long, long time. I get this message for you, girl. But it seems I was never on time. Still, I wanna get through to you, girl. On time, on time.
Wow.
I want to give you some love. I want to give you some good, good loving. Oh, I. Oh, I, oh, I. Yeah, I want to give you some good, good love.
Turn your lights down low. Never, never try to resist. Oh, no.
Nah, nah, nah.
Oh, let your love come shining in.
Nah, nah, nah.
Into our lives. Again,
nah, nah, nah.
Saying, ooh, I love you,
I love you, I love you,
and I want you to know right now,
know right now,
ooh, I love you,
yeah.
And I want you to know right now that I that.
A song I replay every 3 minutes and 30 seconds of every day. And every chorus was written for us to recite.
Right.
Every beautiful melody of devotion every night. This potion might, this ocean might carry me in the wave of emotion to ask you to marry me. And every word, every second and every third expresses a happiness more clearly than ever heard. And when I play them, every chord is a poem telling the Lord how grateful I am because I know him. The harmonies possess a sensation similar to your caress. If you asking and I'm telling you it's yes. Stand in love, take my hand in love, God bless.
Right.
Yes.
I want to give you some good loving. I want to give you some love.
Darling, I care for you more than my own self. Darling, I share with you all goodness and well. Said, we can have just one night, or we can have one whole life if we play it cool. Or we can have everything if our hearts are true. Girl, slow down. Girl, let me love you. Darling, slow down. Let me get to know you.
Baby, I've been fantasizing. Just looking in your eyes, you know I'm looking for more. And you're what I've been praying for. This kind of love don't come around like this. I'm not one to play around like this. It's so real, and I love how it feels. I love it when we slowly sway. I love it when we think the same thing. I love the way we move, the way we move.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
If you attended a federal day school, now is your time to make your claim. If you experienced harm at your school, you may be eligible to receive a check for compensation. Remember, you need to make your claim before July 13, 2022. See if your school is on the list and get free legal help. Start at IndianDayschools.com or call 1-844-539-3815. Claim what's yours.
That wave of white flag. This cause that we love, we pray that we are. We fight that we trust. The walk could break into, but I believe that you wouldn't. Oh, I do.
I like you when you're simple. Treat me like a lady. Do things with a purpose. Do things with intention. I like it when you're real with me. Barely got a question. Focus on the plan. I love what we have.
Every day gets shorter. Nothing getting open. Do you make it so down? Do you make it so down? Every day gets shorter. Nothing getting open. Do you make it so down?
Black men that are having, you know, very macho views and other people from different spectrums, and we're like, you know, what defines you as a man doesn't right. necessarily mean what it is. And yeah, dating is also a big part, because some you have in our group, we have some people that are married, some people like myself that is currently single, but mm-hmm. have kids who were married, divorced. You have single people, so we have
everybody
there. Exactly. So conversations are quite heated and often funny, and sometimes they can go deep also, where okay. we got people that will just they need the floor and they just talk and we let them talk, mm-hmm. you know,
because that's all they need to do.
I've actually kind of coined some things that I've been saying for a while, mm-hmm. which is, you know, how they say sharing is caring, mm-hmm. and I realized that it's not really caring. Sharing is healing, mm-hmm. and even though you might share your pain, it might not resolve it, mm-hmm. but it will make it less heavy on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I'm proud of, is that we have a space for men that can mm-hmm. share. And you know, the universe is hearing, and then the answer comes to them afterwards.
Absolutely. And I have to thank you for that, because it most definitely is necessary. It's been overdue. You know, I have an older brother and my dad, and you know, me and my mom could be in the room and we're talking and stuff like that, but I didn't see that exchange. You know, and I know that a lot of people have that stigma too, that it's like, oh well, if there's two parents in the home, then you know things are so much better, and so on and so forth. But you know, there are fathers that are just as damaged and are still trying to deal with their childhood while raising a child, and you know, as physical as that they are within the child's life, they're still not present.
Like they could care for them, feed them, make sure that they don't miss anything, but at the same time, they're not connected to the child. Mm-hmm. You know, they just, because they're on themselves, unable to deal or heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that Fimo says, you said a couple of times and it kind of stuck to me, is like, you can't, some of our parents, like he was lucky, his father, from all the stories I hear from him, his father, some of the things that his father did, and it was a Black Panther and everything, so he's had a kind of a pretty wicked upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But things that a lot of our parents have gone through, they didn't know better.
Right.
So you can't really fault them. You mm-hmm. just gotta forgive them for not knowing. And even if they know now, it is so ingrained in their DNA. Like, my father's in the 70s. And I'm not gonna ask him to change.
Right.
You know, he's not ready to do that work. He's ready to go, you know, he's ready to go and die, honestly.
Right.
You know, that's where he is.
That work is unheard of.
We have to kind of not give up, but understand and forgive that they just didn't know better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that was even like the worst thing for me is self-love.
Mm.
Now, self-love, a lot of it has happened in the past 10 years, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's taught us to self-love.
No.
What is that?
No. Wait, who has time for that?
Make your bed, love up yourself. You know? Like, they got time for that.
Yeah.
But it is so required.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way, and this is what they say, right? If you don't love yourself, how are you going to have somebody
love someone else?
You going to know how to love you if you don't even know how to love yourself? And I'm like, wow.
Well, it's generational. It's those generational curses. Because I honestly, I truly believe at a certain point, like, people weren't getting married for love. I mean, you'd be lucky to be with somebody for love, but at some time, at most times, it's like, oh, well, I'm pregnant, and you know what the Bible says, right? Or this is survival. You're man, I'm woman. We do what we have to do. There ain't no love in here, you know?
Listen, how about, okay, well, you live already here, so let me get them papers.
Right.
You know, how many people, this happened a lot also.
I've been approached more than once. And let me tell you, sometimes, like, the money is so good, like, it's hard to resist, but I knew better, and I was like, I don't want to be put in this position, you know, but I'm telling you, I almost really did take that money, like.
Okay, I'm curious.
Boku. Yeah, I don't even like. Yeah, like I probably have a house. I mean, I can't say that's what I would have invested my money in at that time because I didn't know better. But I'd be better off than I am. Maybe.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, hey, there are women, we call them green cards, that have no problem doing things like that. So be it. But yeah, you know, and just the other day, like, I was ridiculed by this guy because he was like, yo, nobody is in a relationship for love no more. Like, nobody does that. And I'm like, ooh, sorry, babe.
Really?
Sorry.
Funny because I see, like, the people that will get married nowadays have no other reason but...
Exactly.
Because they are in love.
Exactly.
Because there's no reason to it.
Right.
Unless you're brought up a certain way. Like, and when I say there's no reason to it, I'm just saying it's not propagated the same way. Like, unless you're really in within the religion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying religion in a broad
right,
way.
Right,
like,
yeah.
not, you know, not pointing out or singling out any religion
mm-hmm.
in particular. I'm just saying if you're from a religious background, then yeah, marriage is mostly on your table, on the mm-hmm. table. It's something that is in your cards.
It's a must.
But if you're just day-to-day type of person, and not that you're, you know, you're not a heathen or pagan or anything of that nature, mm-hmm. but you're not practicing any of any religion, and you want to get married, it's because you see a potential and you see there's a reason for it, and there's mm-hmm. love, and there's building and some. Having gone through it myself,
mm-hmm. would you go through it again?
It's not in my priority, but I would mm-hmm. go at it differently because my reasons are different.
Yeah, different.
When I wanted to get married is because if I wanted to have kids and I didn't feel that a woman would have my kids, then also deserve to be also my wife.
Right.
I felt that they were both. They went hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I see marriage as much more of a partnership, as a deal, like a real... like almost like a business deal nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
We're trying to build something together, mm-hmm. and this is why we're going to get married, because we are going to go into this venture together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit less romantic, you know, it's less romanticized, I should say.
Right.
And less, you know, less fantasy. I mean, because marriage is, to me personally, I find it just caters to the woman. Because
really?
It's how society... Well, no, society
has put it that way. Okay.
Yeah. They, I mean, have you ever seen anything back... Have you ever seen a kid in kindergarten, a boy, saying, oh, he wants to be a prince, a charming prince, on his wedding day?
No.
I've never heard any of my boys talk about saying, oh, I can't wait to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm getting married, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's no huge excitement. Yeah.
It's more like it's advertised, and it's... What's the word I'm looking for that really defines what I'm trying to say here? It caters to the woman's fantasy of being a princess for a day. and it's indoctrinated at such a young age,
mm-hmm.
from all spectrum, from to Walt Disney to, like, you know, I mean, it's the fantasy, and it's, you know,
I get it. I mean, every girl deserves to be a princess at some point, but maybe
exactly.
For me, I'm different. And mostly because of the divorce rate that I've seen, the men that are married and still acting single, you know, it kind of turns me off from marriage. And for me, it's not a priority. What a priority is a foundation.
Exactly.
The choice that we've made to love one another. Because we can fall out of love. But when you choose to love somebody at the end of the day, nothing can defeat that. And so I don't need you to spend $1 million on a wedding day. That's one day that I'm inviting a bunch of people I don't likely like. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Man,
or, you know, the potential of them ruin that or whatever. Like, I'm honestly, if it is important to my partner to be married, I will most definitely make that compromise. Because I choose to love you, and you're gonna make me happy just as much as I make you happy. That's an important discussion to have. But at the end of the day, I don't think that it's the most important thing to do within a relationship. Ah, okay. So I'm bringing it back to the men's group that you do involve yourself in. And my question is, like, I want to put it in a way that, like, okay, you are the head of the men's group, I'm the head of the women's group. You as a head, what is it that you want to tell me so I can go back and bring awareness to? Yes, about either what's going on with the men in our Black community, what we as Black women are doing that we could do better, that we need to work on. Like, what are those things?
My first thing is, it's a very cliche, but it comes back to vulnerability, because I find that when you're able to be vulnerable, you're able to grow from it, and you're able to grow from it's easier to heal when you're vulnerable. You go through it, it's hard, but, you know, once you've done the healing part, then you're not as vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not as ashamed about it because you've gone through it. And if it comes back to you, you're like, I'm already equipped because I've gone through it and I've made it out. And it may come back again because, you know, it's like, so when it comes to vulnerability and how women say, I want a man who's sensitive, who's going to talk, who's going to be willing to cry on my shoulders. The problem with that is that there is no such thing as a woman who has been groomed or educated or brought up with men like that.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have one of those men, you sadly don't know what to do with them.
Nope.
And it's not your fault, but it is the stigma of what you want and what you can actually have or deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the same time, it is required or it is necessary on my end. In my point of view, or my opinion, to allow men to be sensitive, to allow men to be vulnerable, to allow men to go to that depth of, you know, showing weaknesses, or not being weak, but showing that, you know, they've hurt and whatnot, so that they can end up being able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, when you see your man down and whatnot, you don't chastise them and say, oh, pick yourself up, be a man of yourself or whatever. You're just there and you try to help them. And you might not have the tools for it. Most of you won't. I know for a fact that it's not something that you're taught, because you're thought of, you're brought up as to being a strong black woman. So how are you going to deal with a man who is quote unquote being weak in front of you, you know?
Right.
So I think that's the biggest hurdle between men and women in my opinion.
And what does that look like? I know for a fact one major thing is, excuse me, some of us women need to shut up and listen.